Couple of notices before we begin our service proper. This afternoon, you are invited to join us at Holy Trinity at 3 p.m. for our annual memorial service. It's an opportunity for us, whether we've lost people recently or in times past, to reflect on their lives and the loss that we feel, to pray for one another, to support each other, but also to have a chance to light a candle in honor of their memory and asking that God will be a light within the midst of our own grief, all the things that we carry with us year in, year out. You are very welcome to come along to that, and I believe that there will indeed be cake afterwards. The other day, I had the great privilege of going into the middle school to be part of their Harvest Festival Assembly. And at that, they had a representative of the One Can Trust, which, as I'm sure many of you know, we support on a regular basis by filling up donations into the box in the porch. They were saying that they are very grateful for all the support they receive, not just from the school or from the church, but from all the collection points. Because at the beginning of September, they were supporting about 300 people with food in the food bank. By now, by this last week just gone, that number has raised to about 550. And so please do, if you are able to, think about offering donations into the food bank, because it is very greatly appreciated by those that need it. It's very easy to think that people are doing okay now and that it's all right, but actually often it's hidden from our eyes and it might even be people that we don't expect. So thank you for all that you have been doing with that. And a gentle reminder, if you haven't, perhaps if you could just occasionally add an extra tin to your weekly shop to put in the One Can Trust collection points, that would be wonderful. We have our annual Christmas Operation Shoebox appeal ongoing. I say we have. It's been a flurry of emails this last week as collectively we've realized that we've not got an administrator in the office to keep us on track. So we've been figuring out what's happening with that. Traditionally, the first Sunday in November is when we've collected those, but that's next week. So I think we're going to go for the 17th of November. If anyone would like to bring a shoebox in aid of Operation Christmas Child, that will be collected here and then go on to Emma at the Village Hall, and that should all work, hopefully smoothly, to be able to support children in far-off places who often feel lost and forgotten, to remind them that there are people out there praying for them who care for them, and as a sign of God's love for them at Christmas time. So 17th of November will be the collection point for those shoeboxes. And lastly, I pass on very warm thanks from Bishop Jonathan from last week. He thoroughly enjoyed having the opportunity to meet with many of you, and he was very pleased to see that you're all looking after Linnea and I and Alfred. So he says thank you, and I add my thanks to that. It was lovely to be able to welcome him here to be with us for that occasion, and I hope that you all enjoyed seeing him as much as he enjoyed seeing you. At the beginning of our services, we are also beginning with a prayer for Tiger Club, who are here and getting ready to go out and do all of the things that they shall do today. And so let us share a prayer for them as they will leave during our first hymn. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Tiger Club. We thank you for all that they are about to do. We pray that as they engage with the words of your mouth in the activities that they do, that they will be encouraged in their faith and that they will grow in their love for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That reminds me that our theme today is Bible Sunday, where we celebrate and remember and reflect on the joy that is the Bible, God's word to us. And so we're going to stand and sing our first hymn, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, number 127.
Thank you.
gathered in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. Would you please be seated? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And our collect prayer for this Bible Sunday. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, help us so to hear them, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that through patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and forever hold fast the hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And so we remain seated to hear our Bible readings.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 55, beginning to read at verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is taken from Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapters 3 and 4, beginning to read at verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So we stand to sing our next hymn, but we're going to sing the first three verses of this hymn. It's Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God, the first three verses.
And I will be
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. The testimony that I have, Jesus says, is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please be seated? Have you ever thought about what's happening when you read something? I don't mean the act of sitting there in your favourite chair with a good book and a cup of tea as you try and puzzle out who the killer was before the detective reveals all at the end. I don't mean whether or not we just enjoy something either. Some stories are sad. Some are real page-turners, exciting, scary. Others present satisfyingly crafted characters, while some rely heavily on stereotypes and tropes. I'm not interested in any of that. Rather, I'm curious. Have you ever thought about the process that is happening when you're reading? It seems to me that in a very intimate way, we allow another person to give us words to think. And by thinking these words, we create the worlds, characters, and scenes which we all so enjoy. Indeed, this is just as true of non-fiction. By following these printed markings, our brains are engaged in shared patterns of imagining. This is an idea which has stuck with me ever since I read it a few years ago, in the acknowledgments of the opening pages of a novel. The author, whose name escapes me completely, ended their acknowledgments by thanking the reader for giving their story life, commentating that without the canvas of our imagination for their words to paint upon, their story would never be able to become the art that they were trying to create. When we read, we are not simply passively enjoying someone else's work. We are somehow co-creating it with them. To read is to take part in something else, to share in a pattern of thoughts which we did not ourselves think first. What then is it to write? To communicate words for people to think? I would suggest that writing is to point towards something which we have thought, which we wish for others to benefit from also having thought for themselves, to benefit also from experiencing, to benefit also from believing. We normally take it for granted that this is how reading and writing works, yet there's actually something very profound about this process and this desire to share our thoughts with others, whether they be opinions posted on Facebook, news updates about people we know texted to friends, stories we read in books, or even analyses of topics we're interested in, published in newspapers or journals. So why is Samuel talking about reading? What on earth has this got to do with our scripture readings today? Well, we don't just read Facebook, the papers or books. We also read the scriptures. And here's another thing that we can often take for granted. We have the Bible. If you think about it, the disciples didn't have the Bible, or at least not the New Testament. They were alive and living it as it happened. When did the Bible appear, and why? The short answer is that something happened to those people who lived through those times, which they've realized they have benefited from. I say benefited from as if things improved, just as we can see more clearly from having an updated prescription. No, in truth, they were utterly changed by what had happened. Rather than bringing things into focus, it was more like having their eyes opened, sometimes literally. Having had this experience, having rejoiced in this transformation, they were confronted by the reality of death. Through martyrdom, illness, or old age, these people who lived in these times were going to die. And yet their message must live on. And live on it does, through the writings which became the Bible we now have today. Writings which have changed the world immeasurably. Writings which on one level are simply inky blots on paper. Writings which on another level can change everything, because the words on the pages of our Bibles are not simply thoughts which we can think about different topics, but are somehow human words which witness to the divine in such a way as to make the divine known to us when we engage with him through these words. There is here a parallel between the nature of Scripture and the nature of the one to whom it witnesses, namely Jesus Christ. Jesus, living amongst the disciples as he prayed, told parables, argued with the Pharisees, and ultimately went to Jerusalem to die for us upon the cross, did so as the God who became flesh and blood like us, so that we might truly encounter God as he is. One of my favorite theologians was fond of saying, when we look upon the face of Jesus, we look upon the face of God. This is a tremendously important principle. When God makes himself known, he truly makes himself known. We are not trying to figure out a magic trick or solve a whodunit. We actually encounter God. And in so encountering him, discover that he's not a God that's limited to the past, to way back when. He's the God of the present, the God who is our Lord, even now. Our encounter with God happens for us primarily in the church in two ways, through the ministry of the word and through the sacraments. If when we look upon the face of Jesus, we see the face of God, then when we hear the words of Scripture, and the sermon preaching and proclaiming those words, we hear the voice of God speaking to us. The Bible, then, is not a dry tome of old writings. It is the ancient witness of the revelation of God, which has been faithfully preserved and passed on by the church through all the ages, so that when we read these words, when we hear these words, when we take them on first into our minds and then allow them deep into our hearts, we find ourselves being guided to engage again as those before us did. Our gospel passage is a good example for us to reflect on this. We have heard read aloud the words of the text. And indeed, in this gospel passage, we have heard aloud in our own language the words which Jesus said to people who were gathered around listening to him. He stood there as a real man speaking to real people, People he knew had high opinions of themselves and their own goodness, while looking down their nose at others. As he debates with the Pharisee, we were standing here in our pews, turned to face him. And it's as if we were standing alongside his audience, for we are his audience. He says, "But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who has sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe for one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. And yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people. You receive glory from people. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another, but not seek for glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" The question for us today is not what do you think God might be saying. It's what is our response to hearing God speak to us. Do we tell ourselves, "I'm all right, not perfect, mind you, but I'm a good person and God will understand"? Or do we find ourselves challenged to reflect on whether we take the words of the Bible seriously? Many today like to describe themselves as New Testament Christians, as though the God of the Old Testament is somehow mean and angry, and the God of the New Testament is sweetness and light, filled with love. In truth, both the Old and the New Testaments present us with the same God. And the reason why we trust in the love of Jesus Christ for us, which has been shown to us not just by his teaching, preaching, and healing ministry, but especially by his passion, crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. The reason we trust in him is because he fulfills and maintains the promises of God throughout the Old Testament. As he's just said, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" When we spend time reading, reflecting on, and even, dare I say, memorizing the words of Scripture, we find in that encounter that we glimpse through them the face of Jesus, the one to whom John the Baptist and the Scriptures testify is the Son of the living God. If we look upon the face of Jesus, we see the face of God. And if when we hear the words of Scripture, we hear the words of God, then what's happening when we come forward and receive the sacrament of Holy Communion? Encountering God is beautiful. Each moment of our lives come into the presence and love of God. And in the life of God, our lives become the most that they could be in that moment, to the point that when our same lives continue on by stepping away from the presence of God, there is a subtle yet profound difference. Our lives become the same as they were, without the vitality. It's as if we've taken a deep breath of fresh air in the countryside and then try and walk through town whilst holding our breath. When you then breathe again in town, you can breathe, but the air is tinged with the pollution and the smells from cars, industry, and humanity. Encountering God is beautiful, but it's not enough. God did not step into creation as one of us simply to encounter us. He became one of us so that he might die our death and in his resurrection offer us the hope of eternal life with him. The gospel and the Bible is full of encounters with God, as is our worship and our prayers. But the gospel is not that we can encounter God for a moment, but that God desires that we should share in his life and have communion with him. The church is often described as the bride of Christ. God is not interested in dinner dates with us. He wants to live with us and be present in all of our life. And this is what happens when we receive Holy Communion. Having been washed with the waters of baptism, when we taste the bread and drink the wine, we taste our salvation. The Word of God ceases to be an idea of something out there or from way back when. He fills us and sustains us with all that he is, so that we might share in the life of God, and that we might receive the mercy of the one who died and lives for us. In the face of Jesus, we see God. In the words of Scripture, we hear God. In the bread and wine, we share in the life of God. And so on this Bible Sunday, let us remember what's happening when we read the Scriptures. The words do not simply live on the page, but are waiting for us to read them, that they might become alive in our minds and live within our hearts. And may I encourage you this morning, as you come forward for communion or a blessing, to remember the invitation we heard in Isaiah 55. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. My word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the silence and peace of our church, we thank you for hearing our prayers on this Bible Sunday. First, a prayer of thanks and praise. We praise you for inspiring the words in the Bible, written for our learning, guidance, and comfort. Help us to study your words and hold fast to your ways, and to reach out to others with confidence. We praise you for sending us your Son Jesus, the bread of life, with his faithful promise that all those who believe in him will never thirst or be hungry again, and they will be raised to eternal life on the last day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for our children and Christian activities. We thank you for the joy of holidays at half term, when friends and families can be together for fun, for fellowship, and for reflection. We remember those for whom this is not possible because of hardship. We pray that there will be better times ahead and hope for us all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for our world at this time. We pray that division and deprivation are not provoked into hatred and confrontation by evildoers, and that countries, communities and cultures will come together in peaceful respect and harmony. We pray that our world leaders will unite and not divide humankind in the common purpose of ending wars, famines, disease, poverty, exploitation, and climate extremes. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. A prayer for others known to us. We pray for those in our church and our community who are unwell or convalescing. We pray for those who are suffering from physical and mental illness, loneliness or bereavement. We pray for all those attending the memorial service this afternoon at Holy Trinity, as we remember all those we love and miss and have lost in recent times or in years gone by. Help us to reassure others that your Holy Spirit is always with them. Make us compassionate with kind responses to their difficulties. We pray for Christine Nisbet for her knee operation on Tuesday. We pray for Peter Nelson and the family of dearest Eve. We pray for Gail Wellings for her complete recovery from pneumonia and return to full fitness following hip surgery. We pray for the family of dearest Joyce Feacock following their visit to St. Margaret's last Thursday. In a moment of silent prayer, we pray for others known to us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, a prayer of thanks and praise. We thank and praise you for the many blessings we enjoy here in your beautiful creation on this beautiful day. Inspire us to share our Christian love with others in our church and in our community of Penn and Tyler's Green, and especially to warmly invite and encourage others to join us at forthcoming services so that they too can know Jesus. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I invite you to join with me in standing and confessing together our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that by steadfastness and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Our next hymn will be 829, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene. But during the distribution of communion, Deborah is going to play for us number 780. And if anyone would like to join in quietly while sitting in the pews, you're more than welcome to do so. Or just enjoy it and reflect quietly as we normally do. So that is number 780 during communion. But our hymn now is number 829, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene. The scriptures. Grant that in the breaking of this bread we may recognize the Word made flesh, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our service continues on page 5. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Would
you please be seated. It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, for he is your living Word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit, and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. So we say together that prayer our Saviour taught us, preserved in the Scriptures. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one blood. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, preserve our body and soul unto everlasting life. The blood of Christ. God of all grace, your Son, Jesus Christ, fed the hungry with the bread of his life and the word of his kingdom. Renew your people with your heavenly grace, and in all our weakness, sustain us by your true and living bread, who is alive and reigns, now and forever. Amen. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise, that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Often I stand before you and talk about the future, the need to invite people in and to bring people along, and all of that is good and true. I just want to take a brief moment to say that I do love spending my Sunday mornings with each and every one of you. It's a very special thing to be able to be here amongst you, getting to know you in your lives, sharing encouragements with you, being encouraged by you, and being able to share communion with you. So thank you. We have now our Tiger Club, who, whilst we have been listening to me talking about reading, have been up to something perhaps a little bit more exciting. And on this occasion, we are prepared with a microphone. It's on. There we go. So.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
At Tiger Club, we made like these paper trumpets, and I'm gonna say a message. Speak out to Jesus, the Son of God, about what you want to say. The message is from the blind man. Bartimaeus.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. What have you got?
So we also made bracelets and little charms.
Brilliant. So we've got bracelets and little charms. And what do these help remind us of?
They tell us to speak up.
Remind them to speak up. Isn't it fantastic? They've spoken up and we've heard them nice and clearly. Let's give them a little round of applause for what they've done. And it's great that they've had this reminder to go and speak up in the name of Jesus. I think that's a reminder that we all need. And so let us hold that with us in our hearts as we sing our last and final hymn, Tell Out My Soul.
Thank you.
as for you. Continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. In the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and all those whom you love, this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.